Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. It is a joy for me to be able to present to you this morning as our speaker, Mr. Jack L. Bullard, pastor of the Millbrook Baptist Church, located in Millbrook, just north of Raleigh. Mr. Bullard is no stranger to this campus. He received his AB degree from Wake Forest College, the BD degree from Crozier Theological Seminary, and he is completing his work at Dropsy College in Philadelphia for the PhD degree. Mr. Bullard has served as pastor of churches in the American Baptist Convention, and he has been serving as pastor of the Millbrook Baptist Church here in Millbrook since last summer. He and Mrs. Bullard have three fine children, and they are rendering an effective witness for the Lord in the fellowship of the Millbrook Baptist Church. It is my privilege to present him to you to lead us in our thoughts this morning. Mr. Bullard.
Needless to say, it is a joy to share with you in this service. In an often quoted statement in one of his books, Lewis Mumford has written concerning church architecture. He says that the church in the medieval city was dominant, that in the 17th century, the structure of the church was recessive, and in our modern metropolis, that it is a survival. There are many who would say that we might aptly say this as well of the church's life. Indeed, last year at the Baptist World Alliance meeting, one of the speakers asked this question: what is wrong with Christianity? Are we true followers of the man of Galilee whom we preach? Or are we just professed Christians? Surely no question can more worthily command our attention than this. What is the church? What is the nature of the life to which we are called as Christian men and women? What does it mean to be a part of the body of Christ? Paul, in writing to the Philippians, has very fine and striking figure of speech. In Philippians 3:20, our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we can correctly understand his figure, we have to think something of the Roman Empire of the times of Paul. And as we look at it, we see that it was a vast collection of diverse elements, cultures that were strikingly different. Different languages, different habits, different customs. The great political problem was to bring to it some degree of unity. And for this purpose, colonies were situated and placed in strategic locations, colonies of military veterans. And in these centers, the Roman citizens in exile wore Roman clothes. They spoke the native language, Latin, rather than the vernacular. They were subject to their own courts and customs. They attempted to establish the Roman way of life throughout the empire. And so Dr. Moffat's translation, which we might regard as suitably accurate and clear, is particularly meaningful. He translates Paul's words, "We are a colony of heaven." And so we have this figure of speech describing the church, describing our life. Paul was attempting to say to the people in Philippi that Just as politically speaking, they were commissioned to represent a way of life that was different from the community in which they were placed, so as Christians, they were commissioned to represent a different type of life from that which this world knows. They were a colony of heaven. They were there to represent a heavenly way of life. We as Christian men and women thus are commissioned to be representatives of a new spiritual order. Our lives are to have the overtones of the eternal. And we might well and fittingly ask what this means for our day. For always we must understand the gospel message against the background of the times in which we live. And as we look upon this world in which we live, we see first of all that it is a world of change. Here in our own beloved Southland and different parts of the world, such as Africa and Southeast Asia, we see that the old social orders are crumbling, and those that shall be the new are not yet apparent. And living in a world such as this, we see that men and women of all races and all places, above everything else, are seeking for that which is lasting. The search for the permanent is paramount in our times. And as we look at our Christian life, I think that we might well say that the distinguishing aspect of it must be that we have in our life some indication of that which is permanent, that we have in our fellowship a strength, a security, if you will, that this world knows not of. I think I can best illustrate what I would attempt to say to you this day with a personal experience. And as always, experiences are deeply personal, at times can be painful. I don't mean this to be so. 2 months ago, our doctor suggested that we take our 10-month-old son to Duke University Hospital for a test. He was concerned with his lack of development, and he figured that there might be something organically the cause of it. After the tests were made, the doctors informed us that our child had suffered extensive brain damage, the cause of which was unknown. And they have not been hopeful about the future and the outlook. As my wife and I have lived through this experience, the things that have been important in life have faded away. Physical health, the friendships of those near us, economic well-being, the prestige that comes from being able to provide services that other people desire, all of these things that this world counts as good have faded away, and one thing remains. And that one thing is the assurance that our child is the child of God, that God's love is greater and deeper and stronger, that his power is more mighty than that of his mother or father in human terms. I suspect that until we are able to live in this attitude, until we grow to the point where day by day we see that this is our security, we shall not be the colony of heaven. The old truth became vibrantly new as we found again that his grace alone is sufficient for this life. Most of us who are gathered here this day have been born and have lived our lives in happy circumstances. We serve churches that, according to the standards of this world, have been phenomenally successful. And our churches, as a convention, have experienced remarkable numerical and financial growth. And the great temptation that is ours, as it is the temptation of this age in which we live, is that we shall find our joy in these things, that our hearts shall be made happy because we can see with our eyes things that cause us to believe that life is good. We have had some anxious moments in the minds of some of our Southern Baptists as we have seen the first inkling of the downward drift of certain statistics. And this could be amusing were it not so personal and so painful in many cases. But I cannot escape the feeling that this has caused us anguish simply because we have put too much importance in the rising growth of statistics. We have this temptation to believe that God is with us because we can see growth in these outward circumstances. And brethren, is this not the standard of success of this world? Do we reflect a life that is eternal if our hope is sure and firm only when we can see things such as this? Paul said it better than I. Our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have zeal, we have a passion, we have a unity in the midst of the prosperity that we are experiencing, but we live in a world whose sands of time quickly shift. Are our hearts, are our lives ready to withstand adversity? Will our witness be as clear and sure in times that might be vastly different from these in which we live? Will your life, will mine be as sure? Will we know God's presence when the foundations are shaken? About 100 years ago, the hymn writer penned these words: "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.